Praise the Lord this morning. Truly I am blessed. Like Brother Chris said, I was able to get up this morning, get myself dressed, and come to the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful for that this morning. I want to start in our lesson this morning right quick. Thank you, singers and musicians, so much. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, since you're standing, I was going to have you wait a minute, but since you're standing, I'll read a verse. Let you sit down. We're going to be teaching a little bit from Jeremiah and from the book of 2 Kings. Jeremiah chapter 36, the first verse. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, you may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for standing. I tell you, anytime there's a word from the Lord, we need to listen. And when we pray and study the word, we need to listen for a word from the Lord. And I don't know about you, God's never spoken to me in an audible voice, but I have been prompted by the Holy Ghost and by His voice in my heart to do certain things, to not do certain things, and I think it behooves us to be sure and listen when He speaks. Amen. I titled this lesson this morning, Heeding the Word, A Tale of Two Kings. And we're going to find out the difference between these two kings. Heeding the Word, A Tale of Two Kings. I thought about the Bible and what it means to us. Still, undoubtedly, the number one selling book in the whole world. Translated into probably every known language by this time. And I was talking to my mom the other day, and we was talking about different books or Bibles. Some are paraphrased, some are the New International Version, and some, you know, and I've talked, and I don't get me wrong, you don't need to change the meaning of the word. But a lot of people I've talked to, brother, if it ain't the King James Version, it ain't worth having. And I told my mom, I said, well, in a manner of speaking, the King James Version is paraphrased. It came from the original Greek and the original Hebrew into Latin. King James in the 1500s had it interpreted into English. So in a manner of speaking, but it's still the Word of God. And I know there are a lot of words in my Bible. There are a lot of words in the Hebrew language. There are no English words for it. And they made some, or did the best they could. But it's still the Word of God. And we need to heed that. But I thought about the old, I believe it was an old MasterCard commercial. You might remember it. It would say something like, leather bound, $59.95. Red letter edition, $10.95. Gold edge pages, $15.95. The Bible is priceless. Amen. You can't put a price on God's word. That's what we live by, and that's what we go by. Amen. Amen. The Bible contains words of encouragement as well as words of warning to us. And it's kind of like a road sign. You've been driving all day, and you see a sign that gives you your destination, 5 miles, that's pretty encouraging. But if you see a sign, one of those big old yellow signs, and it has a sharp curve to the left or to the right, you better take warning. If it's a stop sign, you better take warning. God's word is the same way. There are words of encouragement, and there are words of warning. And we have to heed both kinds. And it's very important for us to appreciate both for their instruction in our walk with God. I'm telling you, the Word says, whom he chastiseth, he loveth. And I want him to love me. I want him to warn me, and I want him to encourage me as well. And the more we meditate on the Scriptures, I tell you, the closer that you'll walk with the Savior. The more you study his Word. And because we know and understand, we're not spiritually mature the day we're saved, any more than some young schoolboy athlete is ready for the professional world. We're not ready as soon as we're saved. We have to study the Word and prepare ourselves and get our hearts ready and our lives ready. And we grow in faith as we allow God through his Word to help us and through the Holy Spirit to empower us. And that's how we serve him. The Bible talks about faith to faith and glory to glory. We mature as we walk through the Word of God. And the more teachable we are, the more mature that you will become. One of the worst things a person can do, a Christian person, is get to the point where he no longer has a teachable spirit. I'm 60 years old. I love to be taught the Word of God. I love to know and understand something that I haven't seen before. And many times reading the Word of the Lord and in prayer and stuff, God will open up Scriptures to me, and he'll do the same for you, and I know he does. But I always want to keep a teachable spirit. Amen. Because I tell you, God's work in us isn't over when we receive Christ. It has only just begun. Amen. And that's where God's holy word comes into play. And I tell you, as we pursue God, we need to let him lead and let him guide us with his word. I tell you what, in studying the word of the Lord, I got to thinking about the prayer life of Samuel. I want that. And I thought about the strength of Samson. I want that. I thought about the repentant heart of David, reading the Psalms and stuff. I want that. I tell you, I want the character of Jesus Christ. And we get that studying his word and walking as he walked. Amen. When I'm confronted by the enemy, having the word of God in my heart, I want to be able to tell him that you're no match for me. I don't want to be guilty of saying, well, I'm no match for him. He is no match for you and no match for me if the word of God is buried in your heart. Amen. And the Bible talks about possession of that two-edged sword in Hebrews 4 and 12. That's what I want. I want one that'll pierce asunder, even to the dividing of the bone and the marrow. I want to be able to use that sword. How do I do that? Studying God's word, which is the two-edged sword. Amen. So by being knowledgeable in his word, allowing God to speak to me and to use me, that's what I want. Amen. We need the word of God, folks. I tell you, our spiritual progress is much more important outside of this church than it is inside this church. You may not understand or thought about that concept, but it's outside this building is where you better be able to do battle. It's wonderful to come into this place and recharge our battery and worship God and draw close to him and get our minds concentrated on him as a group and as a church. But I tell you, you better be ready to witness and to minister outside of this building. And the world that we have today and the world that we face day by day on the job and other aspects of our life, there's going to be things come against you. You better have the word of the Lord in your heart and be ready to do battle. We need to heed the word of the Lord. The word of God is your greatest weapon. Jesus Christ himself used the written word on Satan every time he approached him during his temptation. And folks, we can do no less. I'm telling you, be able to quote the word. Be able to speak the word to any situation in your life. Just like Christ did. We read in Jeremiah verse 1, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee, against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. Dropping down to the 22nd verse. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month. The winter house was simply a house that he stayed in the winter. The ninth month was a month of December in the Jewish calendar, the first month of the year, the month of April, the month of Nisan. So it was in the month of December he sat in the winter house, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll, all the roll, was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah, Jemariah, had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. How tragic. The word of the Lord coming to the king of the people that were his chosen people. And the king, rather than to heed the word of God, decided to cut it up and burn it in a fire. But I'm here to tell you, although he burned that scroll, he cannot destroy God's word. He's simply burning a papyrus or leaves or pages made from animal skins on a roll. But it did contain the word of the Lord. But he destroyed it, but you cannot destroy God's word. Many people try to put God's word aside or say it has errors in it and conflicts in it and can't be trusted. And a lot of people reject God's word, but they cannot destroy it. Psalms 119 and 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And we've all heard that old saying, God said it. And some people say, I believe it, that settles it. Well, let's switch the last two phrases. God's word, it's settled. And I believe it. Whether I believe it or not, it's settled in heaven, y'all. Amen. And that word was settled that was given to the king Jehoiakim, even though he decided to tear it out of the scroll and burn it. But I ask us today, what is our attitude toward God's word? Do we read it but have no regard for it? Or do we understand it, but we don't want to do it? Or do we just tear the word out and burn it, so to speak? I tell you, we got to have the right attitude toward God's word. Don't let it become complacent to you when you take time out of your day to read the word of God. We have to read it and we have to heed it. Amen. We have to understand it. And not only understand it, but we have to do it. James 1 and 22 says, not only hearers, but we have to be doers of the word. And God forbid that we would tear and burn the word of God from our lives, so to speak, just to carry on our own agenda. I tell you, Judah and even Israel was living under a wicked rule, and they were practicing pagan worship themselves. And I tell you, Jehoiakim didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say. And he began to tear it and burn it so he could continue on with what was best for him, as he thought, politically or religiously or whatever. But we don't need to be tearing and burning the word of God from our lives. I tell you, I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. As I read God's word, reveal to me, Lord, everything that you have for me. I know there's a lot of things that we're never going to understand on this world. The Bible bears that out. We'll understand it better by and by, as the song said. But I tell you, everything that God's got for me today in this life, as I read his word, I want it. Amen. And I challenge us today, start reading if you haven't started. If you have and you stop, restart reading God's word and keep going. Read it daily. And I heard one guy say one time, we need to practice what he called the soap principle. Number one, scripture. Number two, observation. Number three, appreciation. And number four, participation. Sound like a pretty good deal to me. So let's practice the soap principle. And when you do those things, I promise you, just like a bar of soap will clean you up, the Word of God will clean you up and make you look good, smell good. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 says, "Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." The very words that Jesus Christ quoted to Satan as he began to tempt him about turning the stones to bread. He knew Christ had been fasting for 40 days. He knew he was hungry. But I tell you, we don't live by the material things of this world alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 10. Let's look at another king. "And Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." What a marked difference after hearing the Word of God to rent the Word of God and to rend your clothes. Big difference. Does anybody know what rending the clothes back in that day meant? Ashes on the head? Repentance. And if you read the scriptures, I skipped a bunch of the scriptures, but if you go back and read some of the scriptures, Josiah the king had ordered him to go sum up the silver in the temple and to rebuild the temple. It was in disarray, and it needed some work done on it. And he said, "Use the money to pay the carpenters and the ones that hew the stone to get it all in order." And that's when they found the book of the law in the house of God. And that's what they did. They brought it to the king. And when he heard it, he rent his clothes. Verse 12, "And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah a servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." The Word of God is written concerning us. We need to read all the words of the book, so that it can teach us, our children, and everybody, everything that concerns us about our walk with God. It's contained in that book. When Josiah heard that law and heard those words read, he tore his clothes in grief. And I'm telling you, when we read the word, we may not tear our clothes.